Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning, and a special welcome to those who join us on our live streams this morning. It is a pleasure to have you joining with us as well. It's good that we can come into the presence of God, especially, I don't know about you all, I was standing outside brushing and scraping my car this morning thinking, this feels colder than the minus 20 morning a couple of days ago. The wonderful thing is that there's always a warm welcome when you get to St. John's, so it makes up for that little bit of brief discomfort. So we're pleased that you are with us in worship this morning. Announcements are few this morning. They were on the screen for you, so I hope you were paying attention as the life of the world scrolled by up there. But just a reminder of the Burns Coffee House that is coming up at the end of the month. January 31st, last Saturday of the month, so 2 weeks tomorrow, or 2 weeks yesterday, pardon me, at 6:30. Do I have the time right, Trish? Perfect. There will be Scottish music provided. There's the thank you, Alex. The poster or the announcement. Our coffee house and dessert night. There will be both some traditional Scottish desserts as well as pie and not so traditional desserts. So music is being provided by Ashley McLeod McRae and Neil Emberg. So it'll be a good evening. Plan to join us for that. And we're preparing, we start this today actually, in our project for 2026 and dwelling with the Psalms. And the Psalms will be the focus for our worship throughout much of this coming year. And we start today with Psalm 1. What a wonderful place to start. And so that will be our focus of worship for this morning. As we enter in worship, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world, and we who are his faithful followers seek to walk in the light that he provides for us. This morning's call to worship is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. I invite you to stand as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning and say together the call to worship. You are invited to participate with the ones marked all or bold print. Happy are those who delight in the word of God. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Let us pray. Extravagant God, you pour out your blessings upon us and lead us on the path of true life. Help us to choose your way again and again, that we might revel in your love and reflect it to all we meet. We pray these things through Christ our Lord. Amen. This morning's opening hymn is number 290 in the Book of Praise, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise, hymn 290, or as it appears before you on the screen.
Rulers in might, my justice, thy mountains.
let us speak the truth about ourselves to our neighbors and to our God. Acknowledging what we have done and what we have left undone, we unite our voices now in prayer as we say together the prayer of confession, which will appear before us on the screens. Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us amend what we are and direct what we shall be, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, hear these words and know them to be true. Your sins are forgiven you. Therefore, be at peace and follow the good road that God sets before you, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. And as God has been forgiving of us, we are to be forgiving one of another. And I would invite you now to turn to those around you and share with them a sign of the peace of Christ. And may the peace of Christ be with you all. Our hymn is number 435, All Things Bright and Beautiful. You going to come join me, Kian? Otherwise, I'm just standing up here all by myself. Good morning. How are you this morning? And good morning to everybody else as well. This year, the stories are going to be hard because I'm preaching something different upstairs from what's going on downstairs, but so just so that you know what's happening up here this morning, we're going to be reading from our Bibles, from the book of Psalms. It's right in the middle of the Bible. That's our cheat to always find the book of Psalms. Usually if you open your Bible right in the middle, you'll end up somewhere in the book of Psalms. Or if you don't, one thumb is fatter than the other. That's what the truth is. And this morning we start with Psalm 1. And one, right in the middle of Psalm 1 is this sentence, that the people of God are like trees who are planted beside a river. And the image that it paints is of a tree that is green and abundant, that it is growing well. I have a plant down in my office, just slightly too big to carry up here this morning, so you'll have to work with me. But if you ever are in and you poke your head in the door and around the corner to the right, I have a plant there. It's the second plant that has lived there. The first one, I did not do such a good job of keeping verdant and green. So I'm working on the second palm tree in my office. And I always, each week, or almost always, try to remember to take my little ice cream bucket and I put some water in it and I put the plant in it so that it will grow, right? So that the water allows it, the nutrients in the soil to become accessible to the plant, and it soaks them up and it becomes fresh and vibrant. It looks healthy as opposed to a tree or a plant that hasn't been watered, that doesn't look healthy. I used to work in a church, and I was responsible for the watering of the plants, and we had a couple of peace lilies. And they were wonderful. They always let you know when it was time to water them. As soon as they got the least bit dry, they'd do this. My palm tree is a little more forgiving than those plants. But, you know, they let you know that they weren't the abundant and green that they wanted to be. And so you would quickly go into the kitchen and get some water and help them out. They always came back. So, a wonderful blessing for us. And so we're going to talk about that this morning, what it means to be God's people, how we as God's people can be like those plants that are planted by the river, and how we can be green and abundant and full of life. So that's what we're talking about up here this morning. Downstairs, oh, great passage downstairs, folks. It's a shame you're not all going down to Sunday school. Down in Sunday school, we're doing John's disciples and meeting Jesus for the first time. And so that's the passage that's downstairs that Kian's going to be working with this morning. So now we all know what we're talking about this morning. We'll let Kian and Trish go down to class, and we'll look forward to seeing you at the end of worship this morning, Kian. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God of wisdom and might, by your Spirit, speak this day a word of life to us, and plant in us the power to be your righteous people. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 44 to 46. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and reburied. Then in his joy, he goes out and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. From the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 8 to 17. For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. Rather, expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is.
Once more, we turn in our book of praise to hymn number 1. How blessed are they who fearing God. Hymn number 1 in the book of praise. Just a note, we sang the first hymn today. Next week, we might sing the second one. Funny how that will work. If you work sequentially through the book of Psalms, you will kind of work sequentially through the first. We don't have all of the psalm settings in the book of praise, but we won't sing number 2 next week, because number 2 is Psalm number 3. So we'll sing it the week after. See how this is going to work, folks? The metrical psalms, these psalms that we that comprise most of the first 69 of the hymns in our book of praise, are all settings of the psalm to the metrical psalms. So many of you will remember them from youth in our churches, the metrical psalms being one of the gifts of the Reformed Church to the broader Christian community. And we will be listening to those and singing those throughout this year together. As we turn in Scripture once more, let us come to Psalm 1. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees that are planted beside streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, or sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In late August of 1986, I crammed most of my life into two suitcases and boarded the aircraft from Charlottetown to Toronto to begin my training for ministry at Knox College. It was a big change. If you've ever been to Toronto, if you've ever been to Charlottetown, you might know just how big a change it was 20 years ago, 40 years ago. Boy, that's a sobering thought. 40 years ago, Charlottetown was even smaller. It was a big change, and I must confess that the whole experience was a little overwhelming. I was overwhelmed. And there was not just one occasion when I thought that maybe I had fallen off the back of the turnip truck and that I really needed to go back home. As part of our final goodbyes and best wishes, my mother said to me, sorry, Mom, Mom will watch this later today. My mother said to me, and stay away from Yonge Street. Now, I didn't know what Yonge Street was, and I'm not completely sure that my mother knew what perils existed on that great den of iniquity. But I suspect that her vision of Yonge Street was kind of like that of Eugene Peterson in his paraphrase of Psalm 1, from which we get the sermon title for this morning. So he perhaps summarizes it best when he says, "Don't hang out in the sin saloon." There's always trouble, you see, at the sin saloon. This morning we begin our year of dwelling in the Psalms. Taken as a whole, the book of Psalms urges a lifestyle that finds its source in the Creator, our God. And Psalm 1 in particular serves as an introduction to everything that follows after it. Indeed, within scholarly circles, there is some debate as to whether the psalm that we have read this morning, the psalm that we call Psalm 1, is indeed Psalm 1 at all, or whether it was meant to be a prelude for the entire book, and that Psalm 2, as we know it today, was actually first numbered Psalm 1. In any case, what is apparent is that this reading that we have read this morning takes its pride of place at the beginning of the book of Psalms. And it begins with that quintessential word from the Psalms. We read from the New Revised Standard, so it says happy, but many of us who are a little bit older memorized this psalm in the King James Version, and it was blessed. And the word blessed shows up in numerous psalms, as we will learn throughout the year. And so perhaps that's a good place for us to start in our exploration of the Psalms. How do you understand the word blessed? For many people in our society, the word blessed has become synonymous with the word lucky, or maybe fortunate. When things are going well for us, when we seem to be prospering, well, many people will acknowledge that they are blessed. But what about when things don't work out the way that we had hoped for? What about when misfortune weighs heavily upon us? What happens to blessing then? Our psalmist this morning, you see, has a slightly different understanding of the word blessed. Did you notice it as the psalm was read? Happy are those Blessed are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. Happy are those people, blessed are they, who do not follow the advice of the wicked and everything that flows from that. These words shift the meaning of blessing for us slightly, don't they? They make it a much more varied experience than just the idea of having what we want, of being happy all the time. If the beginning of our understanding of the word blessing starts with the simple words, do not follow the advice of the wicked, then our conception of blessing makes room for misfortune also, doesn't it? It allows space for doubt and struggle, and that is important for us as we read through the book of Psalms in its entirety, because you know there are psalms in the book of Psalms that we usually don't read aloud in church. Or there are verses in the Psalms that we conveniently omit on a Sunday morning. Why? Easiest answer is that those Psalms, those verses, do not align with our world's understanding of blessing. They are difficult texts. Throughout the Psalter, we will find the Psalms of lament, proof that those who walk in the ways of the Lord are not immune from pain and suffering, and sometimes even the sense that God has abandoned them. And yet the Psalms are definitive. The promises remain. And yet the presence of God is with us in both joy and sorrow. And we are sustained by the knowledge that the God who created us is our companion and guide in all of life. That is what it means to be blessed. That God is walking with us, and we are walking with God. To know God because of and even in spite of all of the things that happen in our lives. It is this knowledge of the never-ending presence of God that allows us to avoid all those little nigglings, the little temptations, the doubts, the scoffing of God that can so easily creep into our faith lives. But those things they're the cracks, they're the chinks in the armor that undermine our faith if we allow them to. They weaken us and render us like chaff, lightweight, and disposable. Chaff, if you aren't aware, is the shell of the kernel of wheat that has been separated out in the threshing floor. And when the wheat kernels and chaff, and once the separation has taken place through flailing or walking on the grains, the wheat kernels and chaff together are thrown up into the air. The kernel of wheat that will later be ground into flour is heavier, and so it falls to the ground. But the chaff, the empty shell, is excess. It's lightweight, and it blows away. But not the righteous. The righteous avoid the scoffing and the sneers of this world, the psalmist tells us, and instead they meditate on the word of God. It is their delight. Not sure how the people from the Bible study are feeling these days about the word of God and its delight. We're almost through Revelation, but man, Revelation is hard. But It is our delight. Indeed, even the book of Revelation can be a delight. And as a result of their studying the Word of God and staying with it all of their lives, as a result of that, the people become stable and well-rooted. They become, the psalmist tells us, like trees that are planted by a river. They are green and refreshed. They bear fruit in their season, and they do not lose their leaves. They are full of life. How easy it is sometimes to be tempted to question our faith. The book of Psalms notes here and elsewhere that life is not always easy, and indeed it is tempting to lose sight of God. But if we're like the righteous, if we are the people who are meditating on the Word of God day and night, then we will never be too far removed from God to think that God has abandoned us. Many years ago, not quite 40, but 35, something like that, I was attending a study leave in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and had gone because a couple of my favorite authors of the time were there, and one of the authors, a woman by the name of Marva Dawn, made a comment that has stuck with me through the years. I may have told you this story already. But she had been, in her address, she was speaking about how we pass on faith to our children and how we convey to our children and to ourselves, indeed, that faith is important. And she said, a completely unscientific study, but she had been addressing another group at one point, and she simply asked the people who were present, how many people, and especially the young people who were present, how many of those people came from homes that said grace at mealtime? And a few furtive hands went up. And she kind of said, and it was amazing how many hands of people who were gathered there went up. She said, the wonderful thing about saying grace at mealtime is that it never allows you to get too far away from God. If you say grace at breakfast, at lunch, and at supper, include that with a prayer, perhaps, as you get out of bed in the morning, and as you go to bed at night, it ensures that we are never more than 3 or 4 hours separated from God. We never have more than 3 or 4 hours when we are reminded that God walks with us and bless us, regardless how lousy our day may be. They delight in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on it day and night. I don't need to tell you this. These are unsettling times. I don't think anyone is sure where we're headed in the world right now. And the world seems filled with scoffers and sinners, I would say. Those who glorify cruelty and deny mercy to those who are less fortunate than they are. Political figures and media that seek to divide people one from another and sometimes even use faith language as their justification for cruelty. Now, more than ever, it is time for those who are blessed to stand, to remain rooted in the Word of God, to renew and refresh ourselves and those we encounter each day with the love of God, which is made known to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. It says the psalmist writes in another psalm. Maybe this will be one of those psalms that you will refer us to later this year. But Psalm 73, paraphrasing a little bit, the psalmist says, when all else fails, God doesn't. Let us remember that. When all else fails, God doesn't. Let us search for God all around us in familiar places and in surprising places as well. And let us hold close to God's word, for it can be our delight, even in days like these, when we aren't quite sure what is going to happen next. Thanks be to God for his presence with us now and always, and for the gift of Scripture that he gives to us, that we can meditate on it day and night and come to know and love our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our affirmation of faith this morning takes the form of a hymn, a newer hymn. The tune will be familiar. In fact, the tune we sang 2 weeks ago, I think, or 3 weeks ago, it's the tune to the Epiphany hymn, As With Gladness Men of Old. The tune's name is Dix, but it has some new words for us drawn from the Psalms. So let us sing the psalm as it appears before us on the screens. Please be seated. We have been made capable of being God's stewards of what God has given to us. Let us, with gratitude in our hearts, give from what has been given to us by grace, that we might be servants of God in the world. Let us now present our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Our great gardener, we are like trees planted by streams of water that yield their fruit in season and prosper in you. We are grateful for all that you have provided us, and we dedicate our first fruits to you and to the work of your church, now and forevermore. Amen. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. God of the first and last, give us strength of mind that we might walk the path of obedience and discipleship without wasting our time thinking about who is more important. Instead, guide our thoughts and emotions that we might learn to depend upon you with a childlike trust, welcoming all in hospitality and love. God of understanding, through the word read and proclaimed, and through your word incarnate, Jesus Christ, you give us the direction that we need in life and show us that there is nowhere else to go but to you with our joys and our concerns. We pray for our world, that too often follows the advice of the wicked, that leads to war, to violence, to conflict between ethnicities, and to fear. We pray for the women in this world, who as payment for their devotion and love as capable wives, daughters, sisters, girlfriends, and mothers, receive rejection, abuse, heartache, and hate. We pray for relationships that are broken by conflict and dispute, by murder and deceit, and that cannot find a way back to restoration and healing. We pray for our children who have been called the first in God's heart and kingdom, but are not welcomed, loved, heard, or spoken to. We believe in you, O God, God of mercy and justice, and we ask, trusting in your power, to heal the wounded hearts, restore the brokenness of this world, and lead us to the everlasting peace of your kingdom. Hear our prayers for peace this day, as we pray in the manner that Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing praise for this morning is number 650 in the Book of Praise. He leadeth me, O blessed thought. Hymn 650. And now love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Blessed are you, O sisters and brothers, for you shall be holy, as the Lord your God is holy, living in peace by trusting in the promises of this God, this day and forevermore. Amen.